The Doug and Daddy Show rolls on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, live at the Omaha Country Club, site of the 34th annual United States Senior Open. A lot of action going on here, and it is quite a beautiful day, and no problems out there for the guys going off early today, except for Peter Jacobson, who had to be treated for medical reasons, coming up 18, which was his ninth hole of the day. He was three over. He was playing with Gary Koch, who's his broadcast partner at NBC. So hopefully Jake will be okay, but he's had to withdraw from the tournament. And that was about the only big-time story that we've got out there right now when it comes to conditions, because we've been hearing about that all week long, about what's going on with the hilliest course many of these guys have ever played. But one of the stories out there is Peter Horobin. He has become the first Jamaican-born player, and we heard from him a little bit on Tuesday's Doug and Daddy Show, talking about just one of those stories coming out of nowhere, growing up with nothing, finding a way to play golf. His first golf club was putting some PVC pipe on an old busted shaft and learning how to swing that, and has been in and out of golf throughout his career. Got emotional during his press conference here today, and he got off to a very good start today, and he is on the front page of the leaderboard at last check. He's 2 under par through 13 holes today, one shot off the lead, held by journeyman Kevin Coombs and J. Don Blake. You've also got a foreigner in Chin Soon Liu that has finished at 2 under 68. So he is in the clubhouse. Jeff Brihat, 1 under 69, is in the clubhouse as well, as we're starting to see some of the first groups get into the clubhouse. Later this afternoon, Fred Couples will be teeing off, and he goes this afternoon in a nice group with the defending champion Roger Chapman and the amateur Paul Simpson, and they tee off on number one at 137, and you can bet that'll have one of the biggest followings of the entire day. So we're looking forward to that, watching some great golf today. Again, tomorrow, the Doug and Daddy Hot Dog Eating Contest. We don't want you to miss out on that. The show will be at the Hilltop Mall in Kearney. Still some room out there to get some folks registered. You can go to ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Sign up and get ready for tomorrow at the Hilltop Mall. Let's go back to some of the sports headlines from today in case you missed what's going on out there. We have a ton of sports news, 16 and 17 Nebraska and Big Ten Conference football schedules released. Those are those first nine-game schedules that are out there. Nebraska will play Michigan this year and then won't see the Wolverines again until at least 2018. Ohio State comes back onto the schedule, and Nebraska in 2016 will have five road games, including at Indiana, at Ohio State, and then hosting Maryland. 2017, they'll have five home conference games and four on the road. And in 2017, they'll host Rutgers and Ohio State and go to Penn State. So that could be quite the task there for the Big Red. Former Husker Alfonso Dennard arrested early this morning for suspicion of drunken driving, straddling a lane line in Lincoln around 2 a.m. on 50th and Normal. Of course, Dennard already on probation for assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest in Lincoln a year ago, April. And the U.S. men's and women's basketball teams both complete pool play undefeated at the World University Games in Russia. Jordan Hooper, 11 points, 4 rebounds in the 105-75 win over Brazil, and the United States men got 8 points and 4 rebounds from Doug McDermott in an 83-65 win against Sweden. Kearney High has a new athletic director in Mitch Stein coming in from Waverly. He went to the University of Nebraska at Kearney. He is a Bertrand native. And of course, the Miss Basketball Showcase got underway today at UNK. Also games at Kearney Catholic's Cope Gymnasium. Pool play today and tomorrow, and the tournament will run on Saturday and Sunday. So a lot going on here in the world of sports, locally, statewide, and of course here at the United States Senior Open. We've got Royals baseball going on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. They are just about ready to get things underway with the New York Yankees. This is a four-game series. The Royals won the first two. The Yankees won 8-1 last night, and Derek Jeter expected to be in the lineup this afternoon in his first game of the year after undergoing that ankle surgery after the bad injury late in October. So that's what's going on in the world of baseball. It's a pretty busy day in baseball. Cleveland leading Toronto 1-0 in the fourth. Tampa Bay leading Minnesota 1-0. They're also in the fourth, and the White Sox and Detroit have just gotten underway. Well, we may have to switch some gears here today on our 12 teams in 12 days. We were scheduled to talk to Paul Kondike of Michigan State Football and Spartan Magazine, but we have not been able to make contact with him. That happens from time to time. You never know what's going on out there for delays and such, but we could be looking at going to Indiana and talking Dustin Dupirak, so stay with us for that. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and be back with more from the Omaha Country Club right after this.
Are you itching to win a brand new $45,000 pickup truck, but you can't wait for the Adams County Fair? Stop out to Hastings Ford Lincoln this Saturday from 9:30 until 11:30. The first 50 people get an opportunity to unlock the Hastings Ford Lincoln Visible Vault. Inside, the keys to a brand new Ford pickup. Unlock the vault, win the truck. We'll see you this Saturday from 9:30 until 11:30. Brought to you by Flat River Radio and Hastings Ford Lincoln, where the difference is black and white.
Hilltop Mall in Kearney invites you to this weekend's Summer Sidewalk Sale. Whether you're wanting to add something new for your summer look or just needing to get a head start on back-to-school shopping, you'll find everything you want all from the stores you love. Save big this weekend throughout the mall on dresses, shorts, shoes, and so much more. Don't miss the ESPN Radio Hot Dog Eating Contest on Friday starting at 11. That's all during Summer Sidewalk Sales this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only at Hilltop
Mall. Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave.
The secret to a happy marriage remains a secret. Henny Youngman. Sweet
sunset. Unlock the secrets to intimacy in your relationship with DVDs, adult novelties, and lingerie. Sweet Sensations, 2009 Central Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. and 24/7 at eroticnebraska.com.
A reality.
What can you do in 10 minutes? You can brew that morning cup of coffee, or in 10 minutes you can hit the links at Prairie Hills Golf Course. How's that for a morning eye-opener? 9 holes of golf with a cart for only $20, or play 18 holes with a cart for only $7 more. This morning special is good Monday through Thursday. Prairie Hills even has coffee and a great deal on a great golf course. Find out more about the morning special at prairiehillsgolf.com. Prairie Hills Golf Course, 10 minutes north of Kearney on Highway 10.
When your stomach's on E, take a pit stop and refuel at Kitty's Roadhouse Bar and Grill. The whole family will love dining in Kitty's unique racetrack garage-style atmosphere while you fill up your tanks with delicious burgers, juicy prime rib, or a pizza made from an authentic wood-fire oven from Italy. Take a trip to paradise from the Tiki Lounge patio while you enjoy a margarita and relax. Start your engines and head over to Kitty's Roadhouse Bar and Grill, 1400 East South Street in Hastings.
Is your internet flabby, slow, and out of shape? Well, get ready, because you're about to learn the secret to getting the tight, toned, fast internet you've always wanted. It's Charter. Charter Internet gives you more power to support more devices. Download music, stream movies, and play games all at once. No more waiting, just pure internet power. So go from buffering to buff with Charter Internet. Get 30 megs of power for only $29.99 a month when you bundle. Call 855-876-CHARTER or go to charter.com. Some restrictions apply. See charter.com for details.
Gentlemen, grab your wiener.
It's the 2013 Central Nebraska ESPN Radio Superstation Hot Dog Eating Contest.
The smell of Pepto-Bismol mustard is in the air.
Enter online today by filling out the form on ESPNSuperstation.com. The champion wins the coveted golden bucket and a grand prize package from Midway.
It is over.
Billy Fletcher from Holdridge is our champ with 14 dogs.
Presented in part by Trotman's Quality Meats and the Hilltop Mall.
We'll see some lingering clouds around early on yet. Otherwise, looking at some sunshine through the day today with a high temperature of 93, with southeast winds on the way up to 12 to 25. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to a low of 70. Right now, it's 79.
Fast tractors, bail liners, and a party barge strung together like a floating trailer park. Anchored out.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda with you live from the Omaha Country Club, site of the 34th Annual United States Senior Open. And we are pleased to be here today to take a look at what's going on on the board. Now just J. Don Blake sets at 3 under par. as he comes to his final hole. Chin Soon Liu, 2 under par 68 on this par 70, is in the clubhouse. Peter Sr., Rocket 88, Michael Allen, Kenny Perry, Jeff Sluman, Kevin Coombs, and Peter Horobin, the Jamaican, all sitting at 2 under as they start to wind down their rounds here this afternoon. Also, the big boys of Longer, Montgomery, and Watson playing their final hole. So they're going to be coming up near our vantage point here as they play the ninth today, the uphill ninth, as their final hole. Watson bogeyed the long par four eighth, so he sets at even. And Montgomery and Longer were able to par that hole, so they are setting at 1 under par as they come to the final hole here this afternoon. But right now, we love the flexibility. 12 teams in 12 days, and Dustin DePerak joins us to talk a little Indiana football here today. We have switched that up, and we'll talk Spartans a little bit later on. But Indiana today, and this is a team that many people believe are on the rise. Dustin, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, and thanks so much for your flexibility.
No, thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk about that. A lot of people believe that Indiana is this year's Big Ten team to make a jump. And they made a jump last year, and boy, did they put a scare into Ohio State, but went from one victory to four victories. Looking back on it now, how much better was the Indiana football team and program last year?
Oh, so much. I mean, basically, it was a really rough transition, I think, in the first year when they went from the Bill Lynch regime to Kevin Wilson. I mean, he was very much trying to make a big culture change. I mean, really trying to be more demanding of the players and stuff like that, and trying to ask a lot more from them. And that didn't necessarily go over well early. But I think last year, by the time they got really even in the spring ball before last year, and certainly when they got into preseason camp, people had started to buy in. Players had started to buy in and start to accept why they were asking as much and why they were being as hard on them as they were. And they really started to really bond together, coaches and players. You know, the first year there was, I guess chemistry issues is the word. It was just kind of, guys were trying to feel each other out and they didn't really understand. Players didn't understand what the coaches wanted. Coaches didn't really have a great connection with the players. But that really took just a big turn and got a lot better last year. And so once everybody started to get along and the guys that were there were guys that wanted to be there, that wanted to be a part of the program, that changed things around a lot. And they kind of found out that they had some talent. They got the offense to start working. Kevin Wilson certainly had came in with a pretty good pedigree offensively from Oklahoma as the former offensive coordinator there, having coached guys like Sam Bradford and Adrian Peterson in that group. And you kind of saw last year just the beginnings of what that offense could be. Obviously they led the Big Ten in passing. Were second overall in total offense. You just kind of saw that they could be a high-scoring team. Obviously, defense got a little bit better earlier, but really fell off the map in the last four or five games. So, I mean, the progress was only so much. But, you just saw just a huge difference in the culture, a huge difference in the attitude and the atmosphere of the program. It was really night and day from 2011 to 2012 as far as all that was concerned.
Dustin, what would you credit the end of the season to? Obviously, they weren't able to stop Wisconsin, Penn State, and Purdue, who threw up 62, 45, and 56. And that was a problem defense all season long. Did they just run out of steam? Were there other reasons?
I think that was a big thing. I think, suddenly, the Wisconsin game was odd because, they were still under 500 at the time, but because just of all, with Iowa State and Penn State both being ineligible, suddenly Indiana was actually playing Wisconsin for the inside track at the Leaders Division title. I think that was sort of a big stage for them to be on. I don't know if they necessarily handled that well. I think they did run out of gas and fatigue a little bit on defense. You just didn't see the same, I don't even want to use necessarily the word explosiveness, because that's probably overstating how good they had been before that. They were at least adequate going into that game. You saw some strides and some progress kind of week to week defensively, and from that point on, they just fell off the map. I mean, I think there was some level of running out of gas, guys just getting worn down, and but they were just getting beat all across the board. You hadn't seen last year, in 2011, there was a lot of occasions where they were getting beat deep, and you hadn't seen as much of that until that point. And they were just getting beat every which way. I mean, they were getting run over, they were getting passed over, just one way, just every way that you could, they just got beat in that last stretch. And it was very reminiscent of what happened in 2011 when they were collectively even worse defensively. But that, I think, was a big thing. And they had some injuries, that kind of added to it. They had a couple guys that were down. They lost some depth. And it just seemed like they just really had a hard time hanging with those groups. And once they got through, you know, Wisconsin, when Wisconsin and Penn State really made it hard on when they really, you know, blew them up, I think they had lost a lot of confidence by the time they got into Purdue and really had just a hard time just kind of summoning the will to really shut somebody down.
Talking with Dustin DeParrick of the Bloomington Herald Times here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. It is unusual when you bring a special teams player to media days. We've seen it before, and that usually means he's pretty darn good and represents the team well, and your guys are going to do that with Mitch Ewald. He's on the Luke Rosa Award watch list. Is there something extra special about this kid? Because you know you have a good team when you've got special teams players that receive a little bit of attention.
Yeah, I mean, I he's just a really confident kid. I mean, he's been in enough positions, you know, when he's had to make big kicks, basically, and he's just come through on more and more occasions. I mean, you know, how much do I know about him? What makes him something beyond that of another kicker? I mean, I don't know a whole lot beyond that, but he's just always been solid. I mean, he was one of those guys that was, you know, he was a recruited kicker. I mean, there's not a lot of those. You know, there's very few guys that get, you know, scholarship money when they come to college at that position. A lot of times guys will just take on a walk-on or whatever. And you know, from the beginning, I mean, you know, he wasn't a Wilson recruit, but Bill Lynch went after him pretty hard, you know, to get a guy that was going to be that solid. And, you know, he's just made big kick after big kick. He's got a really strong leg, and that's gotten better and better, I think, as his career's gone on. Early on, I mean, he wasn't even really the kickoff specialist. They used Nick Freeland for that before. But since he's taken that job, I mean, you've seen him just really add a lot of strength to the leg, so he's dangerous from further and further out as a guy that can hit from just really inside of 50. He's capable of doing that. But he's made huge kicks. I mean, he made two just monster kicks 2 years, or really his freshman year, I think, when he, you know, in Bill Lynch's last game, he had hit a couple huge ones to beat Purdue in that game. Even they ended up being Bill Lynch's last game. They thought maybe they could save him with that one. They didn't, but still, it was two huge pressure kicks, and he's just a guy that's just never daunted when it comes to big kicks, when it comes to really knocking one in when they absolutely need to have it. I mean, Mitchie Wilden kind of knows how to do that.
Dustin, you touched on it a little bit, but this team has a very talented group of wide receivers. I was wondering if you could just kind of expand on that with a couple of kids receiving maybe some preseason recognition in Cody and Kofi, and talk about that group of talent players.
Well, Latimer is really the guy that stands out. I mean, there's talent across the board, and they've got even depth, and there's some guys that you haven't really seen too much of yet that are certainly going to be able to contribute now and in the future. But Latimer is the guy that really stands out as a true freak athlete, that, you know, kind of prototype wide receiver who's just big, strong, can out-jump people, and he's becoming a much better route runner, becoming more just overall disciplined receiver. But he's one of those guys that you look at and say, yeah, that's, you know, that's what a great wide receiver looks like. He's 6'3", he's 205, just a really, really strong kid, super athletic, and he's that guy that, you know, if you're in trouble, you throw the ball up in the air and you just let him go make a play and just, you know, let him see if he could just save you, and he's done it on more than one occasion. I think he had one play against Northwestern last year when he just kind of just reached his arms just around the guy, just, you know, grabbed the ball over his back and just ripped it away from him, and that's what he's capable of, is just making those kind of just jump ball spectacular plays. But he's becoming a guy that can be a more just true go-to receiver. I think early on, you know, especially when he was a freshman, he was just relying on athleticism and that, again, ability to just win jump balls. But now, you know, you're becoming, again, he's a precise route runner. His hands keep getting better and better. And he's become a guy that you can throw the ball to, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a game. And he's going to make those catches, and he's going to turn out 100-yard games. And I think you're going to see a big leap from him. I think he did last year. I think there's a chance he can make an even bigger one. I think Kofi Hughes is just sort of this steady guy in the group. I mean, he's become the offensive lineman. I think I don't know if it's official or anything like that, but I mean, I think he, you know, he's going to media day and everything like that, and he's basically taken the role of really the offensive captain. Just really cerebral kid, but also an exceptional athlete. Was a quarterback in high school, and then they just brought him over as, you know, as a true freshman again in Bill Lynch's last year, and, you know, converted him to wide receiver. He was able to make that transition really easy. And again, he's also a big physical kid, about 6'3", 6'4", and he's just, you know, just a strong guy. He can, you know, just out-muscle cornerbacks, and he's really good at running routes. He's just a really smart football player, just got a really good, again, football IQ, and he's able to, you know, work with these guys really well. He's a guy that's really good at going over the middle and making plays, that sort of thing. So he's sort of, you know, a guy just really reliable. And Shane Wynn is certainly just a little speedy guy that they could use that just works phenomenally well in a spread offense. They can run a lot of bubble screens with. They can give him the ball on a handoff, stuff like that, and he can just make plays. Great kick returner as well, but just has that just sort of flat-out speed. I mean, I don't know. I think he's at 4. If he's not at under 4.4, he's right at it, and he can just fly when you get him out in the open field. He can make a lot of guys miss. He's a really just little guy that can kind of get lost in there. And there's other guys beyond that. You know, Ricky Jones, Caleb Cornett, Kevin Davis is a true as a redshirt freshman. I think that they were very impressed with. Deweese Wilson, actually, I think might be the, not sure what the biggest surprises were, but he's a big prototype guy, 6'3", 6'4", really long, really rangy guy, can beat you deep and can beat you in a lot of different ways, really good hands. He had, he's been, you know, fighting against kind of a sports hernia situation for a couple of years. He finally had a surgery on that, and he's finally, for the first time really since his freshman year, has been able to really get out, make the big, long strides that he has and just get by people. He hasn't been able to do that for a couple of years, and he might have been their best wide receiver in spring football. So you put those four guys together, and they have it's a really exceptional core. I mean, they're capable of really lighting teams up offensively just because they have all those options.
We're talking Indiana football with Dustin Dupirak of the Bloomington Herald Times, full of knowledge for the Hoosiers. And I have to ask you, Dustin, is the fan base, I mean, let's face it, what football is in Nebraska is what basketball is in Indiana, and I think kind of vice versa. Is it starting to – Coach Wilson and the crew, are they starting to catch the momentum? Is the interest there going into this season from the fan base?
A little bit it's starting. I mean, you know, on some level, they're catching a nice wave. You can be sort of overshadowed on some level, but also I think there's sort of a just wave of positivity among Indiana athletics, because not only did you have the Sweet 16 run, second straight Sweet 16 run for basketball, but also had baseball went to the College World Series. I think people were starting to kind of build this interest, you know, just sort of positivity in general. People were just kind of feeling good about the direction, and they see some positive strides being made in football. Obviously, it's just a long, long way to reach the point that it matters on the same level that basketball does. I mean, it probably will never get there, but that's not necessarily the point. They just got to get to the point where they're getting feedback, they're getting fans there. They're not playing to empty stadiums or half empty stadiums. And I think you're going to start, you're going to see progress. It requires some wins. They've got to get in there. They've got to, be relevant. It's got to matter. But I do think the fan base is generally positive about it. I think they like what they see from Wilson. They see a guy who really cares about it and doesn't like the idea that his program is looked at as second fiddle. I mean, he'll go to, tailgate tour stuff, kind of alumni, reach out dinners and whatnot and just say, hey, like, stop leaving. Stop sitting out in the tailgate fields and just experience it from there. Come to the game, make noise, we need you. If we're ever going to turn this around, we need a fan base, and we need to be able to show recruits, hey, they care about it here. It's not just a basketball school. And I think he's made some inroads with that, and I think as they've seen him get some recruits, certainly got a really good 2013 class, and a lot of in-state kids in there. I think that engendered some positivity, the fact that he made a 3-win jump from year one to year two. Those things are starting to matter. I mean, again, are they going to sell out every game this year? No. But they'll, I think you'll see the interest if they start winning some games early. If they're in a position to make a bowl game, they'll be able to maintain that. I think it's something that takes a while. It's got to, takes a lot of years to really progress to the point that, you really have the fan base truly behind you and really caring about it deep in November when basketball actually starts. For now, at this point, it's the next thing on the schedule. It's the next sport coming, and I think people look at it and say, okay, this guy, has a good idea what he's doing.
And finally, Dustin, let's just put it on the line here. This is a football schedule for Indiana. It's not simple. I think they play 5 of the 6 best teams in the conference, with Nebraska being that one that's not on the schedule. And, of course, we're going to be glad now that we finally get to play Indiana with the new Big Ten schedule coming out today, finally going to get a chance to see the Hoosiers. But just on paper, going by past 3-5 in a conference, and you've got Navy, Missouri, Bowling Green, Indiana State, non-conference games, at least 3 of those should be ultra-competitive. What are you looking at for Indiana this season? Is 6-6 good enough, and can they get to that?
I mean, I think it's definitely good enough. I mean, when you have them, they haven't been to a bowl game since 2007, and before that it was 1993. So 6-6 is sure absolutely good enough for Indiana fans at this point. And I think they're capable of that. That's kind of the record, the number I've been pointing at if anybody's asked me. I mean, I've just said 6-6, and I'm trying to think of the schedule offhand. But I mean, you look at it, they've got 8 home games. It's going to be really tough for them to win on the road. I mean, then to go to Michigan and Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. So that's, there's some really tough games in there. I think they go to Wisconsin, too. So, I mean, I can't see them getting one of those 3, but I think there's enough games in the schedule that are winnable. shoot. I mean, obviously, you know, Purdue and Illinois, I think, are still on there. And I think, you know, all four of the non-conference games are winnable. I mean, I think, you know, Bowling Green, Navy, and Missouri, none of those are going to be easy. They've shown they've had a hard time beating MAC teams in the past, had a tough team with Ball State the last 2 years. But, you know, I mean, they should have beat Navy at Navy. You know, they really kind of blew that game. They had an opportunity to kind of put that one away and blew it. So, I mean, I think that those games are certainly winnable. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they come out of non-conference play 4-0. And from that point on, they just got to find two wins. I think it's certainly capable of that. I mean, you know, obviously they had a tough time with Purdue last year and you know, got beat pretty bad in that one. But I think Illinois is beatable. I think Purdue is beatable. I'm trying to remember who else is on the schedule right now, but I think there's a couple other teams that they could have a shot at. You know, it's interesting to see, you know, how Penn State looks at in kind of, you know, year two of sanctions. You know, they've obviously lost a significant senior class. They still bring Allen Robinson back, who absolutely killed Indiana last year, so that's not going to be easy either. But, you know, I think it's possible. I think 6-6 is doable if they can find, you know, might need to be three wins, might need to be just two wins in conference, and that's not easy for them to come by. You know, it hasn't been in the past, but I think it's possible just with that offense. I think there are, again, some really big-time Big Ten players in just on that offensive side of the ball. They just got to find a way to stop somebody. You don't have to be a shutdown defense to get to that point, but just got to reach the point where they've got some playmakers, they've got some people they can rely on, and they're just not getting run over all the time.
Final question I've got, Dustin. We've kind of asked everybody this. Is there something that's happened since last season off the field that's significant, whether it's a player transferring in or an injury or a coach? Is there anything that you see as significant as a change coming into the 2013 season?
There's not one that really, really stands out, but I mean, what has to be determined between now and when the season starts is just the quarterback battle. I mean, that's, I think, the really interesting dynamic. You know, you said coaches. I mean, there were some assistants that left. I mean, they brought in William Ennis Inge, you know, to be a linebackers coach and co-defensive coordinator. That was sort of the one really significant, you know, coaching change. Also brought in James Patton as assistant defensive line coach. But the one, you know, the thing that really stands out in terms of how is this team going to be different or the same from next year is just how that quarterback battle plays out. You know, Trey Roberson obviously was looking really good at the beginning of last year before he broke his leg. They were kind of back and forth between Cam Coffin and Nate Sudfeld playing both of those guys the rest of the year. All three of those guys, you know, are kind of a year better. I mean, Roberson seems healthy now by all accounts. I mean, he would not have been able, you know, allowed to take part in sort of contact drills in the spring, but, you know, you don't hit the quarterback in the spring anyway. So he looked pretty good. Looks like he's got his speed back. They're trying to just continue to progress with him as far as making him a passer. But Kaufman and Sudfeld are pretty solid. Kaufman's a really smart, really heady player. He's got an adequate arm, you know, very, very accurate. And Sudfeld really looks, I mean, we watched him this spring, and I was really impressed by what he was doing. His arm got a lot stronger, it looked like, and a lot more accurate as well. He looks like, you know, he's got that pro style, you know, sort of prototype body, and he's throwing the ball like that right now. So, how, you know, the offense, how it works will really be determined by which of those guys wins that job. And that's really going to be interesting to see. However that one plays out is really going to determine, just say a lot about the character of this team. I think all three of them are adequate. I think they can win with any of the three of them. But it'll be interesting to see which one wins it and how they tailor the offense to that one's strength.
Dustin DePerak, Bloomington Herald Times, focusing on Indiana on our 12 teams in 12 days here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Dustin, thank you so much for the flexibility and working us into your schedule, and hope to see you at Big Ten Media Days in a couple of weeks.
No problem at all. Sounds great. Thanks.
Take care. Dustin DePerak, Bloomington Herald Times, our 12 teams in 12 days with the Indiana Hoosiers, many believe is the team on the rise in the Big Ten Conference. And, of course, every time there's a team on the rise, somebody has to be a team on the decline. Purdue might be that football team even after falling short last year, might even be on more of a decline. Minnesota might have a tough way to go. So we'll find out how it all breaks out. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll be right back.
The Adams County Fair in Hastings on Wednesday, July 17th, Country Hall of Famer, the Oak Ridge Boys. Thursday, July 18th, Randy Houser. On Friday, July 19th, Jared Neiman with Chase Rice. It's a red shirt Saturday night with the Randy Rogers Band and Granger Smith. On Sunday, July 21st, don't miss the tractor pull with the Nebraska Bush Pullers. Get your tickets today to the Adams County Fair by calling 402-462-3247. That's 402-462-3247.
So much here for everyone at Indian Head. the fun begin at Indian Head, Central Nebraska's only GPS-equipped golf course. Play 9 or 18 holes on Indian Head's flat, fair, but challenging, well-manicured golf greens. Book your tee time today by calling 308-381-GOLF.
There's so much here for everyone at Indian Head.
If you're a senior with moderate income and are looking for a comfortable place to call home, the Hastings Village Gardens is the newest addition to Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village. Each of our spacious two-bedroom apartments comes with all major appliances and a detached garage. Rent includes utilities. You pay electricity, phone, and cable. If you're 55 and older, living on a moderate income, call one of our housing professionals today to see if you meet the income and asset guidelines for Hastings Village Gardens, or see us on the web at good-sam.com.
Hear that? That's a brand new Ford pickup from Hastings Ford Lincoln worth almost $45,000. And you could win it during Adams County Fair Fest 2013. Stop by the Platte River Radio booth July 17th through the 19th for your chance to unlock the Hastings Ford Lincoln Visible Vault. Enter the right six-digit code into the vault to unlock the keys to a brand new Ford pickup.
Amazing!
Brought to you by the Platte River Radio stations and Hastings Ford Lincoln, where the difference is black and white.
I love going to work and teaching. This student was saying that I wouldn't know anything about being a single mother. And I said, oh yes, I would. I was a single mom. I was living paycheck to paycheck. I was struggling. I did not know how to begin this journey into school. Education Quest was a huge help. Without it, I would not be where I am today.
To find free Education Quest resources, visit CompleteMyDegree.org. Sponsored by Education Quest Foundation and aired in cooperation with the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hola, me llamo Raimundo Longoria y soy el manager de programas en el YMCA de Kearney. Sin el YMCA, nuestra comunidad no sería la misma. Nuestros niños no tendrían un lugar seguro de donde ir después de la escuela. Tampoco tendríamos un lugar en momentos de necesidad. El YMCA de Kearney ayuda a cambiar vidas con programas y servicios que hacen nuestra comunidad más fuerte. El YMCA es una organización sin fines de lucros y dependemos en su apoyo financiero para continuar nuestra misión. Todos necesitamos el YMCA. Para dar, visite nuestra página web, KearneyYMCA.org.
You know all about the Hastings Valentino's Grand Italian Buffet. So many choices and so much goodness. You know about the Hastings Valentino's delivery, with fresh, hot, delicious food delivered right to your door. Now enjoy everything great that your Hastings Valentino's has to offer with easy carryout. Walk in, drive up, and take Valentino's with you. For the office, for the party, for your family meal, it's as easy as, well, pizza pie. Valentino's of Hastings, 604 South Burlington.
Get the best out of the rest of your golf season at Golfsmith's annual clearance sale. Hurry in to score some of the hottest gear of the season for the lowest prices of the year. Save up to 60% on select Nike men's and women's apparel. Plus, get huge savings on great gear like Adams drivers, Titleist iron sets, Cleveland wedges, and GPS watches from Bushnell. Before you go out there, get the season's best savings in here. Only at Golfsmith's clearance sale.
Whoa, quite the picnic going on here.
All from Kohl's.
Wait, what?
This patio table, an umbrella, this Cuisinart blender. Kohl's.
Really?
That pitcher, these Bobby Flay grill tools.
All from Kohl's.
This Jennifer Lopez top I'm wearing, my sunglasses, my sandals, the kids' swimsuits.
Okay, this is getting weird.
Your Chaps polo, your Dockers cargo shorts, your Adidas.
Getting weirder.
Oh, and did I mention how much I saved?
Suddenly, it's not weird at all.
Save on everything your family needs for summer at the Ultimate Save at Kohl's, starting Friday. Kohl's. Expect great things.
There are questions, and there are cooler questions. You know, the kind you like to stand around and shoot the breeze over. The kind on the Midtown Mark Cooler Question on the front page of ESPNSuperStation.com. Log on, check it out, and vote. If you want to, comment too. Post on Facebook or send a tweet from Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics.
As more sunshine continues throughout the afternoon hours, we'll top off at about 93 for a high with southeast winds of 12 to 25. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to a low of 70. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 81.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from the Omaha Country Club. Our continuing coverage of the 34th annual United States Senior Open, where some of the big-time groups, including Bernhard Langer, Colin Montgomery, Tom Watson, have finished up. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You look at that weather forecast, and, you know, you play early one day, you play late the next, so that group will be playing tomorrow afternoon, and that looks like it could be the only time where the weather might be a little bit of a factor. Winds could be gusting up at 20 miles an hour or more, which, of course, we chuckle at in Nebraska. But when it comes to golfers, unless they're playing over at the British Open, they don't expect the winds to really affect them very often. And it does change the way the game is. So maybe the guys that play this afternoon and then go into tomorrow, where they play this afternoon and they go to tomorrow morning, are those that will have an advantage. And then it's just supposed to be a little warmer coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Jadon Blake has the lead right now here in the tournament, and I believe we're going to get a chance to hear from him here in just a moment. A 3-under par 67. Kenny Perry is 3-under with two holes to go, although they're the tough 8th and 9th. For Bernhard Langer, he shoots a 2-under 68. So does Rocco Mediate. Also a 69 for Colin Montgomery. Tom Watson finished with an even par 70. So Jadon Blake, 3-under par 67, one of the first ones to get out of the clubhouse and get onto the course today. And he has the lead early on in the first round of the United States Senior Open. Gary Koch and Larry Mize, both 1-over par 71s. Koch had it to 2-under on the back, but struggled coming home today and is setting in a tie for 23rd. As he came home today, he bogeyed the 8th. And double bogeyed the 9th, and that's what took him from 2-under to 1-over par here today.
All right, Jeff.
We're going to have Jadon Blake join us here momentarily, and he is your first
Blake
round leader.
With us right now, 67 today. Very good round. 25 putts. Talk a little bit about the great putting out there today.
Yeah, I mean, it helps to, you know, kind of get some putts going in there. You need to. The golf course is playing pretty tough out there. You can hit some good shots, the ball kind of rolling through the greens, and you get some pretty gnarly little chips. So you got to execute some good shots out there to put a good score. And I did early, got under par kind of quick, you know, made an eagle out there and a couple birdies on the front and three putted for bogey on one on the back, but finished with some scrambling pars, so I felt good with the round.
And you played the par fives pretty well as well. I think you were 4-under in the three par fives, including an eagle.
I guess I was 4-under, so I like the par fives. I hope it continues.
Now, Peter Sr. played with you as well, and he had a very good round, 68 today. Are you able to feed off that a little bit and when you're both playing well out there?
You know, I think we were feeding off each other. You got somebody that's playing well, hitting well, you're seeing good shots. So, you know, that helps to visualize a good shot going in there. Visualizing a good putt even, so that kind of spurs you on, and you kind of get with the flow and kind of go with the groove of the other players, and you know, sometimes it works out where you both play well, and it worked out today.
All right, if anyone has any questions, we have microphones going around. Just raise your hand, and we'll get one over. Stoop?
Jay, Stoop Ospisol, the World Herald here in Omaha. Tell us about maybe your best scrambling par down the stretch.
You know, it's probably over on 17. I hit a hybrid off the tee. I thought I hit it pretty good, but then I misgauged the wind. It blew it over to the right about a couple yards into the rough. And then I thought I hit a good wedge out of the rough, and the wind blew it over in the right bunker and short-sided me, you know, to a pretty tough bunker shot. I got maybe 10 feet of green, and it all runs away from me. And I hit a great bunker shot. Thought I was going to stop about 4 or 5 feet, caught a ridge and rolled down to about 15, 16 feet. And it helped, like we were saying earlier, with Peter Sr. He was on the same line as I was and was able to see what the putt did. And I ended up knocking that in for par. So that was, you know, a good par right there at the very end.
How about your eagle on 6?
Six, I hit a good drive right down the middle and caught kind of a ridge, and it rolled an extra 20 yards and got down there and hit 6-iron into the par 5 and probably hit it about 12 feet and made that for eagle.
Talk maybe your longest putt of the day?
Uh, Probably the longest putt was on 17. It was probably the longest putt I made.
And is this the first heat you've sustained heat you've played in this year as the tour?
The what?
Is this the first week of sustained heat you've played in?
Yeah. Yeah, this is by far the hottest that we've even played so far.
How do you think that's going to impact the field this week?
I think it's gonna impact it quite a bit. I think you've got not only the heat fatigue with that, but then you've got the fatigue trying to walk all these hills, and the humidity is gonna be, you know, a draining part of it too. So I think the whole aspect of the heat, humidity, and the walk in the course will be a pretty tough grind.
David, can you talk a little bit about the 10th hole? It seems like last stat I saw was 7.7.
That's Jadon Blake. He is your first round leader here early on in the United States Senior Open, setting at 3 under par, 67. Colin Montgomery, Tom Watson, Bernhard Langer have also finished up. Kenny Perry's 3 under with 2 to go today. We need to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll hear from Fred Couples and more right after this from the United States Senior Open.
Superstation Sports Center. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will. The Sports Center update on ESPN, brought to you by Plum Creek Motors in Lexington, where everyone gets a great deal and a great deal more. Mitchell Stein has been named the new activities director of Kearney High School. Stein has spent the last 4 years at Waverly High School as the activities director, and prior to that, he was the assistant principal at Ralston Middle School. Stein replaces Mark Armstrong, who resigned last month to take the same position at Lincoln Southwest. The 18th annual Miss Basketball Showcase tipped off today in Kearney. The tourney features 63 teams from 9 states. Of those, 18 are from Nebraska. Pool play is going on today and tomorrow, with bracket-style tournaments following on Saturday and Sunday. The Miss Basketball Kearney Senior All-Star Game is set for Sunday at 6 at the Health and Sports Center, following the Miss Basketball Showcase Championship game. Hastings Five Points Bank will battle Lincoln Southwest tonight out of Duncan Field. Hastings is currently 14-24-1 in the season. First pitch is going to be at 5:30. In action last night, Kearney Runza took 2 from Lincoln High, 9-1 and 12-3. Grand Island Home Federal swept the Millard Sox 4-3 and 11-4. Hastings Johnson Imperial Home split 2 games with the Lincoln High Surface Sealers last night out of Duncan Field. They won the first game 12-11, but dropped the nightcap 11-9. Hastings is now 27-13 in the season and will play in the Omaha tournament coming up this weekend. Former Nebraska football player and current New England Patriots defensive back Alfonso Dennard was arrested early this morning for suspicion of drunken driving. According to Lincoln police, Dennard was pulled over for straddling the lane lines near 50th and Normal Boulevard in Lincoln at about 2 o'clock this morning. He was also arrested for refusing a chemical test. Dennard is already on probation for assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest last April in Lincoln. Conference football schedules have been released for the 2016 and 2017 seasons, with the Big Ten moves to a 9-game conference season. Nebraska will play each of the 6 other teams in the West Division, along with 3 rotating opponents from the East. In 2016, Nebraska will play at Indiana, at Ohio State, and host Maryland. In 2017, Nebraska will host Rutgers and Ohio State and will play at Penn State. Enjoy the game at the Big House this year, because the Huskers don't have Michigan on the schedule from 2014 through 2017. Nebraska offensive lineman Jake Long and Jeremiah Serlis have been named to the watch list for the Outland Trophy, given each year to the most outstanding interior lineman in college football. Long and Serlis are among 10 players in the Big Ten Conference who are on the list. The winner will be announced on December the 12th. The U.S. men's basketball team beat Sweden 83-65 yesterday at the World University Games, and the U.S. women's basketball team knocked off Brazil 105-75. That's a sports update on ESPN. I'm Mike Will.
This is Tom Feltis, the owner of Plum Creek Motors in Lexington, and I would like to personally invite you to stop and see our newly remodeled dealership. We have created a bigger and better dealership for our customers to make your service and shopping experience the best it can be. With 2 comfortable waiting areas with big screen TVs and free coffee and refreshments, and a customer business center with Wi-Fi and a personal computer so you can get some work done while you wait. We have upgraded our service department with General Motors' new service workbench system to help us maintain and service your vehicle with world-class technology and speed. And as always, we have one of Central Nebraska's largest selections of new Chevrolets and Buicks for you to choose from. as well as over 200 quality check pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs in stock and priced for any budget. Stop in today and see the all-new Plum Creek Motors in Lexington, where everybody gets a great deal and a great deal more.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder.
Doug and Daddy's show rolls on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. J. Don Blake, your clubhouse leader, almost midway through the first round of the United States Senior Open. He played in the U.S. Open and was the oldest competitor in the U.S. Open earlier this year, did not make the cut, joined the Champions Tour in 2009 and has had two really good years. He was fourth on the money list with two wins in 2011 and had one win and eight top tens, made every cut last year in 2012 and was fifth on the money list. So don't discount J. Don Blake. He's got three Champions Tour victories, looking for one, and is off to a good start with a 3-under par 67. Michael Allen has just come out of nowhere and has finished at 3-under 67, and Kenny Perry is playing his final hole, which today is the ninth, and he is also setting at 3-under par. We're going to hear from Fred Couples because he's about ready to tee off 137 with Roger Chapman, the defending champion, and the amateur Paul Simpson in another one of the marquee groups of the day. Rocco Mediate, he started off well. He had it at 4-under at one point today, but could not bring it to the house. He had some trouble coming on home today, and so Rocco not able to keep things rolling along like he had hoped, although his 2-under par 68 has him just one shot off the lead. It was a little bit of an up-and-down round, playing in just his second major here on the PGA Tour. Folks, don't forget, Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance is the place to go anytime you need new furniture, and they have it just right for you, folks. They deliver, they'll take it out, they'll set it up, they do all the work for you. All you have to do is stop by Bruce Furniture in Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, pick out the right color, pick out the right style, pick out the right size for your home, and again, because it's just right for you, they will, of course, have that guarantee that if it gets in your house and you go, you know what, this doesn't look exactly like what we thought it was going to look like, they'll take care of you. You bring it back, you get what you want, and Bruce Furniture takes care of you. They have plenty of stores in the state so that they can quantity buy and the freight charges aren't high, and they can always bring you the low price, competing with the big time out of state and online dealers. Since 1977, Bruce Furniture taking care of you. Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Again, don't forget to vote on our Midtown Mart poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who has the best all-star game? Is it football, baseball, basketball, or hockey? You can vote on that at ESPNSuperstation.com. Fred Couples getting ready to tee it up. Let's hear what he had to say. This is from yesterday afternoon. He was just getting ready to go out and play some more golf yesterday here at the Omaha Country Club. And he was asked about his thoughts on the course.
Yeah, I played nine holes yesterday, the front nine. And I'm going to go out and play most of the holes today, especially nine on the back. I really like the front. I know the back nine I hear is hillier, maybe a little tougher to judge some shots. But I think it's the front nine was beautiful, perfect for our games. You know, it kind of gives you a little bit of length. The eighth hole is 480. Gradually up a hill, and you know, a couple par threes. There's, I think it's the third hole, maybe, that plays 240. So you know, those are U.S. Open type holes, and the rest of them are very small greens with a lot of little nooks and crannies. And I think it's a great course.
You had some comments in the Chicago paper a couple weeks ago, and you said at the time, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, about comparing North Shore, which is a very good course, with here. Were you taken in context?
No, I was saying North Shore could easily have a U.S. Open. I've never been here, so I have nothing to compare it to. So when I was in Chicago, you know, they were asking questions how you like the course, and I said this could easily be a U.S. Senior Open type course, not comparing it. To be honest, I don't even know the name of this course. Is it Omaha Country Club?
It is.
Yeah, I know we're in Omaha, and I know it's a good course, but I couldn't compare it because I'd never seen it. Now, Chicago didn't have the amount of people we have here. I will say that. There is a ton of support, and this is a I think, going to be a great U.S. Senior Open.
Fred, Eric Olson with the Associated Press. Just wanted to ask you, how's your back doing? And number two, you've got three straight runner-up finishes coming into this. Do you feel like you're about to knock the door down?
What was the last part of that? About?
Do you feel like you're about ready to knock the door down?
Am I ready to knock the door down? Well, I'll answer that first. Yeah, I would like to win something. I tried to play in the member guest a month ago and finished second in that too. So I am on a roll here out in Newport Beach. You know, I feel good. I took all last week off. I didn't play any, which I felt like, you know, I was playing very, very well, but I didn't feel like I could practice. And then I'm playing here, the British Open and the Senior British Open, which, you know, might be a little much, but I'm going to try and do it. So my back feels good. You know, knock on wood, I wouldn't be here. You know, I skipped the Senior PGA because I just physically thought I couldn't play as well as I'd like. And this is a very, very tough golf course. So, you know, you have to be ready to play, and I feel very healthy right now and ready to go.
Shed. Yeah, just, you know, it's a common question among everybody that's come in here, really, and how much physical conditioning is going to play into this week, and also playing off of some potentially awkward lies and downhill lies and so forth.
I mean,
how does that all factor into your preparation or your thoughts?
For me, you know, I can't speak for me, side hill lies and downhill lies are very hard to get to with my back. And, you know, if I drive it in the rough and don't have a great lie, then I'm not going to do too much out of it. So I'll probably play it safe. I'm sure I will be driving it in the rough a few times. You know, like I say, the front nine I saw, there were some, the ninth hole had a little twist and turn to it, but so far, you know, it's been okay. But I'm not going to, you know, try and do something that I don't think I can do on one particular shot or hole. But it is a very, very good course. I think there are some spots you have to hit. You know, people are saying, oh, if you drive it on the fourth hole of par five, fifth hole, you know, you're going to get it down the hill. I mean, you have to hit a drive right within a 2-yard area down the right side. So it'll roll down there. I'm almost thinking maybe hitting a 3-wood off the tee, but people see things differently. You know, they all think that if you're a long hitter, if you hit an absolute perfect drive, it's a huge advantage. I can tell you, I drove it in the left rough and I could barely move it out of the rough. So you want to get it in play. I particularly think the greens are going to be very, very tough. There's kind of like some certain spots that they'll put the pins in. But if you miss it, you know, 50 feet right, you're going to be coming up over ridges. And I think that's on any U.S. Open course. You know, you saw Marion last year. I walked around at Olympic Club. I mean, people were – those greens are tiny. And just the slope on those. So here we have a little bit of moisture because they're trying to spray the greens a little bit. So I don't think they're going to get rock hard, maybe Saturday and Sunday. But the good scoring will be Thursday and Friday. I think the course will get tougher each and every day.
And that is Fred Couples, one of the crowd favorites, fan favorites, going to be teeing off here in just a little bit at the bottom of the hour, 137, with the defending champion Roger Chapman, who has really been battling injury and has not had the season like he had last year, with two majors, also playing with amateur Paul Simonson. What we're going to do, Merritt, if we could just fire that last break. We have heard from Rocco Mediate and Colin Montgomery, so I want to get a couple of clips on from them. So let's take one more break here from the United States Senior Open on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, and we'll be back with more from Omaha after this.
Mid-America Market Information. Broadcasting from the Murfin Drilling Studio.
Markets a service of Valley Vet Supply, your one stop for animal health. Visit valleyvet.com. The World Ag Supply and Demand reports basically friendly to both corn and wheat.
This morning, July corn currently up 17 3/4 at 727.5. September corn is up 4 3/4 at 558.5. We're seeing big gains in Chicago wheat. July Kansas City wheat is up 14.5 at 726.5. And looking at September Kansas City wheat, it's up 4 at 713. So some positive moves there for both corn and wheat. July soybeans up 1¼ at 15.93. August beans are up 8 3/4 at 14.73.5. July soybean meal is up $13.40 at 5.33.90. August soy meal is up 8.10 at 4.57.80. July soybean oil down 16 at 46.82. August oil down 35 at 46.67. So we'll call it mixed numbers in the soy complex, but strongly higher for corn and wheat. Livestock numbers are mixed. Not a big surprise there. August live cattle up a nickel at 122.15. October live cattle down a nickel at 126.32. August feeders up 20 at 150.75. September feeder cattle down a nickel at 153.07. The hogs are split as well. July hogs up 25 at 102.17. August lean hogs currently down 35 at 95.35. So mixed numbers in the hogs. So, well, we're seeing mixed numbers pretty much all the way across in the livestock complex. October cotton down 160 at 85.70. December cotton down 169 at 85.10. So mixed numbers in the livestock, but we're seeing some strong gains in the grains. Markets from Mid-America Ag Network.
Butte Implement Company is your one-stop for service on all makes and models, as well as their full line of new and used equipment. Butte Implement Company carries Heston hay equipment, Massey Ferguson tractors, Sunflower tillage, and Versatile tractors. Visit them online, butteimplement.com. See their new and used equipment or to schedule service on your machine. Butte Implement Company will service any type of machine, whether they sold it or not. For your heavy machinery, Butte Implement is your one-stop. butteimplement.com.
At Murfin Drilling Company, they've seen a lot since they started drilling for oil back in 1926. Boom and bust, and they've seen the competition come and go. But through it all, their values have never changed. They get up early and work hard, just like you. They take pride in treating farmers and ranchers right. They think that way of doing business will never go out of style, and that's why Murfin is one of the region's largest oil and gas producers. For more information, log on to MurfinInc.com.
Generations of a family working together on the same piece of land. It's a tradition around here. On a farm or ranch, everyone has their chores to do. The whole family contributes. It's a hard life, but it's a good life too. Agriculture is America's largest family business. We're proud to be a part of it. Minden Exchange Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC, equal housing lender. When you grow, we grow.
Buzz's Marine is bringing the showroom to you. Buzz's sail team is setting up shop at Patterson Harbor Marina on Harlan County Reservoir this Saturday and Sunday, showcasing the latest boating accessories as well as sport boats, pontoons, deck boats, and fishing boats powered by Yamaha. Come see them Saturday 11 to 4, Sunday noon to 4. Let Yamaha power hours of fun this weekend with Buzz's Marine at Patterson Harbor on the south side of Harlan County Reservoir. Visit buzzesmarine.com for details. We'll see you on the water.
And welcome back to the Doug and Danny Show. Extended coverage from the Omaha Country Club of the 34th Annual United States Senior Open, where the first wave of golfers are winding down their round, and then the afternoon tee times get going here. Some of them already getting off on 1 and 10 in the last 15 minutes. But we have a three-way tie for the lead right now with Jadon Blake, who we heard from moments ago, Michael Allen, the American, and Kenny Perry. The American shoots a 3-under par 67. A ton of folks in at 2-under, including Bernhard Langer, Rocco Mediate, and at 1-under is Colin Montgomery. And Montgomery says he's just glad that they don't have to walk any more hills, at least for today.
I'm just thrilled that I don't have any more bloody hills to climb for one more day, and I've got three more days. I was told that Nebraska was flat. They lied before I came here. They did. They lied. I didn't play very well today. To be honest, tee to green, I didn't play well. I putted very well today. Had 26 putts, I think, which is good. But it was good to play with Tom Watson and Bernhard Langer. You know, it's super to play out with them and watch them go around their business. But I didn't play that well today. I didn't drive the ball particularly well. So going over there right now to try and iron that out. And if I can drive the ball well over the next 3 days, we'll hopefully contend. But I've got to drive the ball better than I did today.
Ball well tee to green.
Very much so. Very much so. Very much encouragement that encouraged by the fact you can score 69 and play indifferently tee to green. So when I get that ironed out, because that's usually my strength, to be honest. So when I get that ironed out, then I'll have 40 putts. So that's it, isn't it? It's a bloody silly game at the best of times, isn't it? But it's great. It's great.
What did you learn about the golf course today?
I learned that it's not far short of a U.S. Open setup, the ones that I have played over the years, and a very demanding test, tee to green. It takes demanding test off the tee, demanding second shots into the greens, and demanding around the greens. So it's a full test of golf that U.S. Opens have always been. So, and the standard of golf I found over here is very, very high, very high. I realized that at Fox Chapel, my first event. This is my second event, and I'm realizing that the standard is extremely, extremely high. And I look forward to that challenge. It makes if I happen to do well in an event, it makes it ever more pleasing.
That is Colin Montgomery following his round just a few minutes ago here at the Omaha Country Club with a 1-under par 69 today. For Montgomery playing his second major championship. Monty had 3 birdies and 2 bogeys on his round today, including the long par 4 10th hole today, which is an extremely difficult hole. That was his first hole of the day, but then he came right back and birdied the picturesque par 3 11th hole, bogeyed number 17 today, which just a 320-yard par 4 uphill. And I'll throw a little one out here. When we played at Media Day, that's the hole I birdied. So Montgomery bogeyed it, and that was his last bogey of the day. He got a couple of birdies coming home on the par 5 second, and then on the par 3 seventh. So a 69 today for Colin Montgomery. Doing him one better is Rocco Mediate, shooting a 2-under par 68 today, and he had a few comments after his round.
The golf course is perfect. It's right in front of you. It's firming up, which is good. The rough is not any fun, and that's what it's supposed to be. And the greens are fine. It's good. It's good stuff. They're not like lightning yet, but I'm sure they'll keep turning the screw a little bit as the week goes, like we hope.
But you handled it okay.
Handled it okay. I took a lot of chances today off the tee with drivers, and I lost a few of those battles because they're wide enough to where I like to hit driver anyway. And if I'd have laid back, I might have shot the same score, but I had a couple yards off the fairway. It's not very good. So that's not supposed to be good, but you know, maybe tomorrow I'll switch a couple of those clubs to 3. It depends on the wind, but nothing else. You know, it's just the U.S. Open. It's awesome.
If you're gonna say there's a stretch out there, you got to be careful of, or you got to play really well during it.
One to 18. Yeah, 1 to 18. You got to be. You know, you're not gonna be careful. See, that's where you get killed. If you be careful. You got to let go. But, you know, like holes like 10 today, you know, that's one of the – that's a great par 4. But in the practice rounds, and last week I came out on Tuesday, there's a driver and a hybrid. And so all of a sudden it's, you know, it's warm and the wind's downwind. It's a driver and a 7-iron today. It was like I went – you know, Duffy was right. We both hit 7-irons. I'm like, what the – if you'd have made me a bet, I'd have went, yeah, how much you want to bet? That'll never happen. So it's different. It's starting to firm up and get like U.S. Opens get. So that's good. I'd much rather be hard than soft. Greens will hold, though. The greens are holding good. But you can see they're starting to crust up. They're going to get firm on the weekend. It should be good. It'd be crazy. Those greens are tough. Some of those greens are tough.
Physically,
that is Rocco Mediate after his 2-under par 68 round today here at the United States Senior Open. On the regular tour, the PGA Tour, they're at the TPC Deer Run for the John Deere Classic. Going low, Zach Johnson, 7-under par 64, has the clubhouse lead. Camilo Villegas is also 7-under as he plays the 18th. Daniel Summerhays, Brendan DeJong, and Matt Betancourt all shot 6 under par 65s today. KJ Choi, Steve Stricker, Davis Love III, among those that shot 4 under par. So as we leave you today, we'll wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show and remind you we still have some spots left tomorrow for the Doug and Daddy Hot Dog Eating Contest, 11 o'clock. Hilltop Mall in Kearney, Troutman's Quality Hot Dogs. We thank all of our sponsors that are taking care of us, including Troutman's, the Hilltop Mall, Culligan, and so many, many more, Midway Auto Dealerships. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But you can sign up at ESPNSuperstation.com, guaranteeing your spot in the contest tomorrow. 30 minutes to eat as many hot dogs as you want. Some great prizes, especially for the 2013 Grand Prize winner. I want to thank Dustin DePerrick for joining us today here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk Indiana football from the Bloomington Herald Times. Also to Phil Steele, college football guru, who joined us at the very beginning of the show. And if you missed any of our interviews today, we heard from Tom Watson, Kenny Perry, Fred Couples, J. Don Blake, Colin Montgomery, Rocco Mediate. It's a great time. It's a great atmosphere here for the biggest golf tournament that's ever been played in the state. It's the first round. We'll be back tomorrow, have a little bit of an update, but our focus tomorrow will be there at the Hot Dog Contest at the Hilltop Mall, and we'll talk more tomorrow, keeping you up to date here from the U.S. Open, U.S. Senior Open, and of course, still going on this afternoon, your afternoon featured groups, Fred Couples, defending champion Roger Chapman, they go off this afternoon. Corey Pavin and Steve Elkington are paired together today with David Ladd, Mark Calcavecchia, Tom Lehman, Mark O'Meara, Fred Funk, Hale Irwin, John Cook. Those are some of the top pairings that will be going off this afternoon. And don't forget, you can watch coverage on ESPN2 that starts this afternoon at 3 o'clock here from the Omaha Country Club. J. Don Blake, Michael Allen, Kenny Perry, 3 under par, 67s. They have the first round lead at the moment here at the United States Senior Open. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the U.S. Senior Open. And for our producer engineer, Merritt Lawson, I'm Doug Duda saying thanks for listening to the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio.